Hi, my name is Jacqueline Crisanti. I'm the owner of Meet Me Locally, and my mission is to create meaningful connections through social events.
I won't be defined by your dreams, committed to my goals, yeah. Gotta do my own thing, keep up the hustling.
Welcome to Hustleburg. Thank you for sharing your time with us as we chat with entrepreneurs here in St. Petersburg, Florida. We talk about how they got started, how they built their business, and how they serve our community. I'm Brett Bittner, and I'm the host of Hustleburg, and I started Beyond Your Side Hustle because I found that most entrepreneurs lack the time and expertise to build their own digital marketing strategy and still get results. As an entrepreneur here in St. Pete myself, I love meeting and talking with fellow small business owners about what they do and sharing that conversation with you. Now, you may have noticed a few changes with the podcast lately. One of the biggest is that we're now doing video. So if you're only listening to this episode, whether it's on your favorite podcast player, RadioSt.Pete.com, or Sunshine 96.7 FM, please know that this episode and all future episodes are available for you to view on YouTube and BeyondYourSideHustle.com. Just visit BeyondYourSideHustle.com/YouTube to subscribe or to watch your favorite episode of Hustleburg. If you find anything of value in this episode, I encourage you to subscribe. And if you would, also rate and review the episode as well, because it sends us the right signals to know how the conversations add value for you. Finally, if you're interested in being a guest in an upcoming episode and you own a small business here in St. Pete, let us know by visiting beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcast guest. So, Jacqueline, why are you connecting business owners through your networking events?
So, I connect business owners just because I feel like a lot of business owners could really use that after networking, relaxed atmosphere, nothing that's going to be pushy or salesy. It's come out, have a couple of drinks, meet like-minded people. And I feel like every time I went to a networking event, I was nervous, had a hard time like getting myself in with everybody. And so I wanted to create a different experience because I was selling my events to people. And I was like, wow, this is really hard to sometimes get in. So I was like, I want to create my own kind of experience where people always feel included. They can be their most authentic self and align themselves with like-minded individuals that way.
Now, it isn't just business owners that you're networking, and that isn't where it started. So give us a little bit of backstory about how you got to all of the different type of networking events that you do and basically all the connecting that you do here in Tampa Bay.
Absolutely. So I actually started 2 years ago under my LLC brand, the JDC Experience. And I started because there was no Latin events in the area and I wanted to like start throwing Latin events. So I started hitting up every single bar that I could to see who would be down for Latin events. And then I had just gotten out of a relationship and I could not find anybody else to date. And I was like, why are there no single events for single people? And so that's the two things that I really started focusing on. And then when I started having those events, like people started being like, oh my God, you're a great connector of people. You should create a business on that. And I'm like, I could do that. And they're like, yeah. So then, you know, I was like, okay, well, what other ways do people want to be connected? And I sat down and I thought about it, right? People want to find love and relationships. They want new friends. And then if they're in business, they want to find ways of promoting that business or partnering with people. So I was like, I want to create events kind of for all three sectors. Some of them could align, you know, because you can have somebody for all three. But then I also have those individualized experiences for people. So networking has kind of been the last one that I started because I already had the Latin events coming and I did vision board parties and all these fun things. And so networking kind of came in third when everybody was like, you know, networking events, why didn't you start those yet? And I was like, you know what? I started going to a few just to create some data of like how I wanted to be different than everybody else. And, you know, like I said before, I felt like it was very hard to, everybody already knew each other. So I'm like, hi, I'm Jackie, right? And just trying to like introduce myself and I'm very shy. So it was like a nightmare for me to try to get in there. And so I was like, you know what? I want to create an experience where it doesn't matter if you're the CEO or you're just starting out, you fit in. It doesn't matter if like you're shy or not shy, you fit in. I had someone at one of my events just last week who was like, I'm so shy, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, don't worry about it. Be your authentic self. People are going to love you. So I sat down, heard her story for a little bit and said, oh, I know exactly who to put you with. So I put her in with like a group of people that I knew. She was just graduating college. She was in IT. And I was like, oh, here we go. Perfect. And then now she went to an event with people the next day. She added everybody on Facebook and she wrote me. She's like, I now not only have like amazing friends, but like, I know that I can come to your networking events when I start, you know, looking for a job. And it was like really awesome just to see just that one difference really quickly. So that's something that my events just do. Like I make those connections and it doesn't matter who you are. Like we make sure you fit in. My number one rule is nobody sits alone. So okay. We figure out, we get you in somehow or another. And a lot of people appreciate that because, you know, it's really hard going into a group of people that already know each other and you're trying to, you know, intrude yourself into their conversation. So.
Sure. Now, what is a typical Meet Me Locally event or one of the other events that you put on? What is that event going to be like for somebody who's just showing up for the very first time?
Every event is different. So the one thing that I will say that is, you know, you get your number check-in process. And if you're new, I'm going to hound you and I'm going to hear your story because I really like being personal. I like knowing who's coming to my events and what you're looking for. So you'll definitely expect to see my face there and talk to me. And then depending on the event, like I said, if it's a networking event, typically sometimes I'll do an icebreaker, but there has been times that I've created this awesome experience, right? I'm like, I'm going to do these icebreakers. And then everybody's already talking to each other. And I'm like, well, I don't want to break this up. Like everybody's having such a good time, you know? Right. And so I remember, you know, I hosted one of my first networking events right outside of the pandemic. I was hosting it with Jason Bryant, who does a lot of like, you know, networking events and inspirational talks. And me and him game planned, like we're like all the things we were going to talk about. Literally, we looked at each other. We're like, do we break it up? How do we break it up? And we're like, hey, everybody, 5 minutes. Nobody cared. Nobody cared that we said 5 minutes. And we're like, we're just going to let people do it. So it was like all this brainstorming was like for nothing, you know, but it wasn't for nothing because people were just so excited and already like knew the rules. Like nobody sits by yourself, join in a conversation that people were just talking and they were so happy. So that's why I say everyone's a little different because I come prepared with an A, B, C to Z plan, but I never know based on who comes to my events, how those are going to go. And even events that I do every year, like my vision board party, this year I had a vision board party and a lot of couples decided to have their board together and split the board with their individual goals and then their together goals in the middle. And I'm like, how cute is that? Like, I wouldn't have even made that a suggestion, right? And so they presented together as a couple. And that was something that I didn't even think of, right? So sometimes people just invent themselves at my events and come up with really cool ideas. And I'm the type where I'm like, let's just do this. And as long as it's a great experience for everybody, I'm happy at the end of the day.
Now, I imagine that the last year has been for you like it has been for many other business owners. You've had to pivot. What has it been like trying to network as you've been in the COVID pandemic era? What has that changed for you about how networking takes place?
Absolutely. Obviously, I had a downfall of in person and I couldn't do in person for a couple of months. It just wasn't an option. And so I had to just like everybody else pivot to Zoom calls and everything else. And the Zoom calls were always very entertaining because I'm like just I called it cocktails and connections. And that's where like it started is just it, and that's how I actually started the networking is doing virtual. So I wasn't doing in person originally. And so I would be like, hey, it's 6 o'clock, grab a drink or a tea or a coffee and let's just talk. And everybody would do, you know, a 30-second pitch. We would do like a wants and needs section and see who can help each other with what. And then we would open it to like an open conversation and just talk as if you were in person. And a lot of people loved that because there was obviously a lot of people who were hosting virtual, but it was 30-second. Okay, great. Thanks for coming. Click, right? And you're like, oh, okay, cool. I didn't really create that experience with someone. So a lot of people loved that, you know, we utilized the chat, talked about random things. and just like really got people got to know each other's personalities. So I think that's why when the first event came to in person, people were like, oh my gosh, like hilarious. Now I get to actually know who you are versus just seeing you on a screen. So yeah, definitely with COVID, it was hard, but it definitely reminded me different ways that I can do things. And I don't think virtual is going away. So it's definitely giving me some ideas of how to take speed dating virtually, how to do, you know, networking virtually, how to create any kind of thing virtually, even vision board parties virtually for the future. Because there might be people that don't want to come out, or even like I can expand out of Florida or out of Tampa Bay by doing them virtually. So it kind of gave me a lot of great insight.
Now, before you were inspired to do this and you had somebody that kind of kicked you into gear about networking and creating a business around it, what was it that you were doing? Was there anything in this area, or was this completely separate? Was this a completely new endeavor?
Completely new endeavor. So my whole life, I've worked in hospitality, which I guess is not a new endeavor. I've always worked with people. But I was working as a manager at Rubio's and a nanny during the day. And, you know, and I was just, well, I wanted to start events, and I was, you know, going to a lot of events and just seeing what they did. And I used to work as an event planner for weddings back in Connecticut, where I grew up. And then in Atlanta, I worked for a bar and I was their event coordinator. So I had to, you know, create these events. So I kind of just took all my experiences and said, how can I just do this here in Florida? And so, yeah, I mean, I always laugh that like I wouldn't have started my business if I didn't have the breakup, because I had a breakup, which created the singles events, which created what else do I like, you know, Latin events. And it just, you know, all of a sudden I felt motivated to just, what can I do, you know? And then I just made some connections with people, and the right people just kept entering my life. And it just was, just building a trifecta from there.
Now, speaking of connections, what are some of the best connections that have occurred as a result of a Meet Me Locally event?
Oh, I mean, I have met literally, I want to say 90% of my friends from me hosting events. So, which I find comical because they end up just becoming family to me. Single event wise, I think we're at 20 to 25 couples that have been created through something single related. Networking wise, I mean, we've created so many connections. And because I am a part of so many other networking groups, I bring in those people as well, because I don't believe in competition. I believe in completion. So a lot of times I meet somebody and I cannot fulfill something, I bring in one of my fellow friends and they usually have an answer. So a lot of people know me for being that connector of people. And I get Zoom calls all the time, like, hey, I want you to meet this guy. He's starting out this, see what you can do for him. And so that's what I've kind of become, is that person. So, you know, that's been inspiring to see that I am this like person that people want to connect with. And one of the biggest things that I've also been doing is, because I run all the different groups that I do, and because I'm this connector, I've been trying to help bars and restaurants by focusing my energy and hosting events there. So, we know if there's a bar or restaurant that contacts me, I try to find an experience that I can create at their establishment, especially at this time, so we can build, you know, we can make sure our bars and restaurants stay open.
Now, what's something special that you think sets you apart from other networking events and groups that are here in the Tampa Bay area? Really, what makes someone choose your event to attend over someone else's?
Great question. So I think I want to say that it's me. And not to be, you know, vain, but I create such a personalized experience. So when you're coming to my events, you absolutely know I'm the host. And obviously that's something I have to work on as I want to build, is like people entrusting others. But a lot of people value that I don't just look at them as a number or another person coming to my event. You know, I really like get to know them and figure out their story and see how I can connect them. And I think that's the biggest part of what I do, is that personalized touch. I'm not like, hey, nice to meet you. You will talk to me for an extensive period of time. And most of my friends are like, okay, can you like hurry up? I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm so excited because I would really like, I really like hearing people's stories and what motivates them and why they're in the business that they are. So that's what you really get with me is that personalized experience that I don't think a lot of people do anymore.
Okay. Now, a lot of the Hustleberg community are fellow small business owners that are local here. What are some of the businesses that you seem that you see that kind of lack representation at a lot of the networking events that you attend and that you host? Who is it that isn't making it out to these that you'd like to see start to show up? And how are you reaching out to them?
Great question. I'm still working on reaching out to a lot of people. I focus a lot on in person and just meeting people in person through other networking events. But I really need to do a better job of going into just personal businesses and saying, hi, would you like to come to my networking event? That is something that I'm working on. But I would love to see more like big businesses. I would love to see more, you know, restaurant owners and people that are in the hospitality come because I want to support them. But if I don't know you or if I don't come to your restaurant, it's very hard for me to add you on the roster of like where we can, you know, host your events. But in general, I would like to see more like big companies and people that I could collaborate with because I really want to, you know, collaborate with people. So if you own a studio or if there's some way that I can host an event at your venue, those are the kind of people that I want to see because I want to be able to help people because we have a you know big amount of realtors and loan officers and other event planners, DJs, a lot of people in the hospitality, which is because I'm in hospitality, but I really would like to just see anybody, even if you don't have a business, but you just are looking to network, I want you to come in and network and see, you know, maybe you'll find a new career or something just by talking to somebody else about theirs.
Now, when it comes to building your business, what resources do you have at your disposal to help you in that endeavor? You mentioned a business coach earlier. Are there any books or podcasts, anything that's helping you succeed in building what you're doing?
Absolutely. My biggest resource is people. So it's local businesses have been huge for me and the people that I meet. The podcast that I use, it's called Unfuck Your Business.
And actually, I know those guys.
Yep. So they're local and I love them and I love how real they are. And I listen to their podcasts often as well as, you know, checking on their, you know, their weekly meetings. Entrepreneur Social Club was huge for me when I was starting out because I would say, hey guys, what do you think of this idea? And then all of a sudden they'd be like, yes, no, oh gosh, that's awful, right? And they would give me all this insight. And it was awesome because I needed that brutal honesty that sometimes your best friend is like, yeah, girl, everything's great. No, I need you to tell me when it's not a great idea, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's also been a big one for me. And like I said, the greenhouse was awesome when I was starting my business. And that's where a lot of my mentorship has come from is meeting mentors through the greenhouse or through, you know, anybody else who just kind of believes in what I'm doing. And they're like, hey, I love what you're doing. And when I was at your age, this is where I went wrong. And this is what you should do, right? And if I hear that enough times as a young entrepreneur, I'm like, awesome. You know, now this is great insight for my future.
Now, I'm somebody who doesn't look at what some describe as failures. I look at them as the lessons that I'm learning. So what would you say is the most important lesson that you've learned thus far in your entrepreneurial journey?
You can't please everyone. I am such a people pleaser and I'm learning I can't. I just have to focus with who aligns with what I do and keep rocking out because, you know, you're always going to have one person not like what you're doing. But if there is 50 million other people that do or 10 other people that do, then there's obviously something there. So yeah, biggest thing, can't please everyone for sure.
Now, in your wildest dreams, where is it that you want to take Meet Me Locally and the other events that you put on? And what are you doing to get there?
So big, crazy dream is Meet Me Locally is everywhere. 50 states, six continents. I don't know if the penguins in Antarctica need help networking. But I want to be everywhere. And I want to create something that people can understand how to host events, how to make people feel inclusive, and do those kinds of things. And that's something that I'm just really good at. So I made this year a Meet Me Locally USA and a Meet Me Locally worldwide. And so they're not separated into singles or friends or business. It's kind of just everyone. And so eventually what would be really cool is we have like a Meet Me Locally meetup in Texas, or maybe we have all people from all over the states. And then somebody can say, hey, I live in Florida and I'm coming to visit Texas. What are some fun things to do? And get like actual feedback from people in that state. And then obviously globally do that as well. Sure. You know, be able to connect with people globally. And then maybe, you know, we have a Meet Me Locally big networking event, you know, and I don't know, wherever. I mean, I'm Brazilian. So like, if I could do it in Brazil, it'd be awesome. Right. And that, and just be able to get people to travel, hopefully one day with this COVID over, you know, and have one big, huge event there. So, and just being able to, you know, just connect people all over the world and show people to be like, to be you, and that you can find people who are going to love you for you. Cause I feel like we forget that all the time. And people are like, it's hard for me to make friends. I don't know anybody. Well, you know what? Now you just met 300,000 people from all over the world. Can't say that, you know?
Yeah. Now, how much would you say that you're working in the day-to-day of your business versus on your business and developing and growing toward that wild, crazy dream that you have for Meet Me Locally?
24/7.
Okay.
I never get a time off. Every time that I'm out, I can't even help myself. I mean, right now I don't have a daytime job, so I'm just doing Uber and Lyft, and I'll talk to people and they'll be like, hey, is there something that I can do in town? I totally throw my events in sometimes, you know, and so I'm constantly, you know, connecting with people and seeing who I meet. So it never turns off, I would say, because the more people that I meet, you know, the better the connections that I can make for myself and everybody else, because you never know who you're going to meet and what that person can do for you or what you can do for them, you know, reciprocated. So never stops.
I am so glad that you mentioned the Uber and Lyft thing, because I think I recently had an opportunity to speak to a bunch of folks that are in an internship about entrepreneurship. And one of the things that I stressed was all of the important business lessons that you can learn from a side hustle like that, where you're able to figure out when it's profitable to work, when, you know, it's going to be busy enough to make money, and those kind of things where you understand a lot of the consumer demand. And I think that that is honestly a really good business school for people who don't want to go through and get a college education in that regard, because they just need to get those lessons to get them where they want to be. And I really appreciate that you brought it up, because I think those, you can really learn so much about what you're able to glean from consumer behavior and demand working with the public in that way without taking on a lot of the risk that comes from being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. I always tell people, the reason why I can even do what I do is because I was a psychology major and I just studied people, and I worked in the hospitality for 10 years. So if you want to get to know people besides Uber and Lyft, become a bartender.
Oh,
you
sure.
Get everything. I would, you know, I knew everything about somebody's life. And then I joked, it was like confidentiality would still be a part of my, because if you told me something drunk in private, I can't be like, oh, Bob, I'm so glad that you know, you and your wife are doing better. No, I cannot say that, right? Him and his wife come in for a drink. So I've learned a lot about connecting with people, when to say things, like what, you know, like what body language people are using, whether they're uncomfortable or anything like that. So yeah, I give that advice to young teens all the time. Like, if you can do Uber or Lyft, or you can work in the hospitality industry for just a short period of time, you will learn so much about customer service, so much about human behavior, that you'll be able to take that within any career that you ever get into.
Now, you mentioned Connecticut earlier, so you're not a native of St. Pete. Did you move here directly from there, or were there a couple stops along the way?
Nope. So I grew up in Connecticut, and then I graduated from UConn, and I always wanted to move down south. It was itching me. So my friend, that I had, my childhood friend, moved to Atlanta and was like, I have a spare room. you can pay $250 a month and live in it. And of course, I'm like, heck yeah. So nice. I packed up my car and I drove to Atlanta, which was not my number one choice ever to live in, but it was a start. It got me out of Connecticut. So I lived in Atlanta outside of Atlanta for about 2 years. And then my mom moved to South Pasadena to retire. And I came here to visit for Christmas. And I was like, Mom, I'm never moving here. If I move to Florida, I'm moving to Miami. That's where the party's at. And quickly I learned going downtown St. Pete, how fun this area is and how young and vibrant. And I was like, I think I want to live here. So when I came back, my lease is over in July. I'm moving. And everybody was like, what? Nice. And I was just like, I don't know. There's something that's drawn me to Tampa Bay, and the warm weather, the people, the fact that like me and my mom could both party in the same place was beyond me, you know, because we didn't do that in Connecticut, you know, like there would be bars for the youngins and bars for anybody who was older, you know, they would not want to mix and mingle. And here, I mean, everybody's just like, age is not a factor. It's like, if we're vibing, everybody's vibing. And so I really liked that. So that's pretty much, yeah, and I don't know where I would go from here. So I feel like I'm stuck in Florida for the rest of my life, which is not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Now, when you aren't working, what are some of your favorite things to do in and around town?
Oh, goodness. I always like to support different restaurants and bars. So you'll see me everywhere. Downtown St. Pete, Tampa. You know, I love my Latin events, so I go to Tampa often for some salsa. I don't know. I just like being with where everybody is. I'm a big traveler, so I'll take day trips as well. And, you know, I just like to have fun wherever I can find. But I'm a very spontaneous person. So I'm just like, let's go check this place out and see what happens. So
now, what are some of your favorite local businesses that you do like to support?
Oh, well, I will say CJ's on the Island. It was the first bar that let me have a singles event. So I always support him because I'm so thankful that he did that. La Vie, I support often. Twee and Jason were huge into starting my business. They were so helpful. Twee took me under her wing as a young female entrepreneur and really helped me out. So I definitely go there. And Ferg's. Ferg was one of the first people that let me host an event. So I definitely support those guys way often because I really appreciate it. But there's some other bars I have that I know that if I don't say it, I'm gonna get in trouble. But poor judgment.
Yeah. You're not gonna remember them all. We have so many great ones and stuff.
You know, Old P.O.S. Bar. There's tons of bars that I've worked with that I'm so thankful and blessed for, and I'm always going out and support, especially supporting those that support me. I'm a huge believer in that. You gave me a chance, I'm always gonna spend my extra dollars on you.
Now, what upcoming events do you have that you want to make sure that listeners and viewers in the Hustleberg community put on their calendars in March, April, and May?
Oh, well, we haven't planned that far. I've been really taking things month by month just because of the time period. So every month, I kind of just the first of the month launch all the events. So this week, I have two events. So I'm supporting Biff Burger. They're a local joint and they've been like, they reached out to see if I could host something. So we're doing a karaoke night completely free to everybody. Just come out, sing a song, make a fool of yourself. Cause I surely do. And, we also have my networking event at Big Catch at Salt Creek, February 18th, which is this Thursday. And that's from 6 to 9. So we have some extended happy hour specials for you. And I believe they're going to have some live music as well. So it'll be like a fun outdoor networking experience for you. And then March 5th, we have an axe throwing at Baby Roo Brewing. And that's for everybody. Doesn't matter which group. I just thought, how fun would it be to throw axes? So I make an event when I want to do something. Sometimes I just make an event out of it because it's more fun to do it with others.
Perfect. I'm actually reaching out to the folks at the axe throwing company that you're having for that event. I'm actually reaching out to them tomorrow to see if they'd like to be on the show. So I'm super stoked to hear, and I'll probably ask you for contact information as soon as we're done. So if people want to find out more about the types of events or the events that you have upcoming, where can they connect with you? Website, social media, all that stuff. This is the best time to plug anywhere people can reach out to you.
Awesome. Well, obviously on Facebook, Jacqueline Cresante, feel free to add me. I'm not a stranger to adding new friends. Meet Me Locally is my Facebook and Instagram to follow the business, and www.meetmelocally.com is our website. Our website should be completely finalized. We're redoing it in the next week or two, where you'll have a list of all the events and be able to purchase them right off the website instead of through Eventbrite. So yay to upgrading. And then all those obviously on LinkedIn as well, Jacqueline Cresante. And on LinkedIn, we only have the JDC experience on there, but you'll see all of the events for Meet Me Locally as well on there.
Awesome. Jacqueline, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today and sharing your story as an entrepreneur with the Hustlebird community.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you reaching out.
Hey, you did it. You've just listened to Hustlebird. Hustleberg is produced by Beyond Your Side Hustle, where we help you craft an awesome strategy for your business and build a community that supports you today and in the future. We help budding entrepreneurs go beyond their side hustle and into the business they're dreaming of. If we provided you with something valuable with this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast player, especially you Apple Podcast listeners. This is something that only takes a few seconds that will help us shine the spotlight on all the great businesses St. Pete has to offer and grow our community. Speaking of great businesses here in St. Pete, if you're a small business owner here and you'd like to share the story of your business with the Hustleberg community, please let us know by visiting beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcast guest. Did you know that at Beyond Your Side Hustle, we're helping small business owners reach ideal engagement on any social media platform with a free 3-week training by email? It's available for you at beyondyoursidehustle.com/3weeks. You can also find a link for it in the show notes. Start right now to learn how you can fix your feed to serve you, start engaging on social the right way, and create a community around you and your business. The opening music in this episode is Defining Your Dreams by my friend, Rhymer Educator. I encourage you to check him out on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to great music. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to sharing with you how we do business in the Berg.